Today I'm going to talk about things that Jesus said. Don't know if you can read it, it says part one, so that indicates there might be a follow-on from this, so you can look up on the calendar and see when I'm speaking next for the next part. But I suppose what God's been really speaking to me about is that sometimes we hear these things, we know these verses, especially from Sunday school, especially from childhood and things people throw out in conversation, and we really know their words that Jesus said and we can repeat them. But sometimes we don't have a great understanding of what they really mean and what they can do for us and why Jesus said them. And so we're going to look a bit at that today. So two of the verses we're going to look at are things that Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that is John 14, verse 6. You know this one. I'm going to focus on I am the truth. That's the part of this verse I'm going to look at. Jesus said lots of things in John, especially around these chapters. There's lots for you to look at. There's context for you to look at within that as well. But I'm going to focus on in that verse, I am the truth. And then also in John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Again, we're going to look at the truth in those verses as well. And what that really means, you know, what does knowing the truth mean and how will the truth set you free? And just our relationship with those verses. And the challenge I want to throw out today is, if you're not feeling free, then the truth you believe is not of or from Jesus. So if you're not feeling free, then the truth that you believe is not of or from Jesus. Because Jesus has said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So that must mean then the truth that we know isn't the truth of Jesus. And we've just read that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we're going to piece these bits together and see what does that really mean. And so the first thing I want to look at is our freedom. Freedom is something that, well, it's a word you could go to the dictionary and look up, but the way I understand it is freedom is something we have in order to do or be something. So we feel free to go and do something. We feel free to go and get something, to be something, to be in company, whatever it is. Freedom is kind of a feeling that we have, and we know what, when it's there, but often feeling is something that we don't really understand until we don't feel it. Because we don't feel free to do something, we feel a bit restricted, we feel a bit trapped, we feel a bit, I couldn't do that, or I'm not that person. And so sometimes we don't really get how free we are in the rest of our life until all of a sudden we don't feel free. There's lots of things in our lives that are like that, that we don't really appreciate them until they're not there. There's lots of songs about that in the charts, there's lots of wise words, but you know, freedom is one of those things that we don't really know that it's been there until it stops being there. And so anti-freedom, as I'm going to call it, because I want to keep the freedom word close in our minds, it can feel like a lack of motivation. It can feel like hopelessness. It can feel like overwhelmed. It can feel like there's no way forward. It feels like we're captured by something that really drains us, and we just find it hard some days. We just don't feel at ease. We don't feel ourselves. And it can come and go, because it can be particular to a certain situation or a certain group of people or a certain day of the week, even when we have to go and do a certain thing. Our freedom can come and go. It's a bit fluid that way, that some days it's there and some days it's not. And we only feel it when it's not there. We only feel the lack of it when it's gone. And we often associate that lack of freedom to the circumstances that are going in. And we don't even sometimes use the word freedom. Sometimes we'll say, I don't feel motivated because I have to go to this place. And what we don't realise is what we're saying is, I don't have the freedom in my life that I normally have. And we look at the symptom nearly, and we look at the situation, and we link those two together, and we don't realise that it's freedom that we're missing. And it's really important that we recognise that the freedom is missing, because the freedom is what connects us to Jesus. And so there's a gap there that we've left Jesus out. We're looking at a symptom, and we're looking at a situation, and we're saying, this equals that. And right in the middle, there's the long part of the cross, there's the Jesus, and there's the freedom that we end up missing from the circumstance. And we just find ways to deal with it. We just go and do that day, be around that person, have an off day, figure our finances out, whatever the thing is. We usually just get around it, or we just accept this is just the way it is with this thing. But really, what we need to realise is it's not the circumstance that we need freed from, but it's how we think about it. So the circumstance, and I preach this loads of times, probably most of my sermons, our circumstances are often always there. They're often circumstances that we don't have control of. So it could be your work. So unless you're going to leave your work, then you're going to get up every morning and go to it, knowing that you're going to go to it. It could be a relative that you have to care for. It could be an ailment in your body. It could be a child that is going through a phase that's lasted 7 years. You know, it could be an ongoing thing. It could be the weather in our country. We just need a break from the rain. The circumstances often aren't in our control. And unless we're going to make a massive life-changing decision and leave that circumstance, then we have to find a way to go and be in it. And it would be great if we could find a way to go and be in it while feeling free and not feeling the life has been drained from us and that we're hopeless and that it's never going to end and all those negative down thoughts that we have when we don't have freedom. So I want to challenge us today to stop looking and blaming the circumstances for how we're feeling and look to Jesus and see what has he told us that we could think about our circumstances that would change how we are in them. Because the circumstances aren't our truth. They're just where we are. Do you understand what I mean? So they're just where I go to my job, I live in my family, I have the money that I have the house that I have. That's the sort of the stuff that goes on in my life, but they're not the truth of who I am. They're just the things that are there. They're just where I live and the stuff that's around me. The truth is what I believe. It's your belief. And so today I would like to look at as well what our beliefs are. Jesus said the truth will set us free. So if we're not feeling free, what truth are we telling ourselves? Does that make some sense to people? They're very quiet today. It must be the weather. So that's okay if you're quiet, because that's your choice to be quiet. I'm not going to impose anything on you. If you want to just sit and listen, that's great. If we don't feel free, then the reasons we're telling ourselves can't be true. So we need to look for the truth. We need to figure out what's the belief that I am looking at. Because maybe my belief is that I don't deserve to be in this circumstance. It's really annoying that I have to be there all the time, but I'm just going to have to go and do it. It's just the way things are. This part of my life's not going to be great. And listen to all that negativity we list off in our heads before we even start the day, before we even get to the circumstance. We've told ourselves, I'm just accepting this is unenjoyable. And so changing what we say isn't just going to all of a sudden change the circumstance, but it might change our approach, how we're in it. It might change how we look for the opportunity. It might change how we look for the life, because Jesus has told us he's life. So if we're bringing Jesus into the situation, then there must be a way we can bring life into the difficulties that we face, into the everyday struggles that we face, into what you see when you look in the mirror, the negative and the criticism that you give yourself, all the I can'ts, I couldn't be, I'm not that person. If Jesus is saying he's the truth and we're not feeling free, then we're not speaking Jesus' words to ourselves and to our circumstances. So let's look for something different to tell ourselves. Sometimes the things that we tell ourselves aren't always about a right thing and a wrong thing, but it's just about where you place your belief. And you might disagree with that, but that's okay, because that's where you've chosen to believe. You know, you can believe what you like, but you need to test that in your own circumstance. You have the choice of what to believe. You know, I'm standing here telling you these things. I'm giving you something that I believe Jesus has showed me, but it's up to you to decide whether you want to believe that or not. It's up to you to decide, do you want to walk in that or not? Because Jesus did the same. He came and said many, many amazing things that bring us revelation and hope and freedom, but he gave us the choice to walk in that. He didn't impose that on us. So we continue to walk in that choice to believe. And in our choice to believe something, sometimes we just keep walking and we forget that we have a choice to believe. We just walk through the circumstance. And in Psalm 23, which I always go back to again, you know, we're told that we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we don't have to fear any evil. But often we just walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we forget about the part where we don't have to fear evil. And evil isn't, as in, I don't know if you ever watched the Pilgrim's Progress or read any books or pictures that depict the valley of the shadow of death. It's often lions on a chain or some type of real massive evil force that can kind of get you, but not really. But evil in our life is just the lack of God in our life. So the lack of God in our life might not present itself like a huge challenge. It might not present itself like a roaring lion. It might present itself as that wee niggly doubt you have that won't go away. It might be that voice that just says, I can't do this anymore. I can't be bothered. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. That's not for me. That's the presence of evil in our life, because it's definitely not the presence of God. So we need to be able to identify these things in our life as evil, as anti-God, as anti-freedom. And so we need to choose then not to listen to that voice, which is really, really easy for me to say. You know, I can stand up here in my bright colours and my microphone and my happy smile and say, you know, you can choose to not do that. But, you know, you haven't lived the week that I have lived and the choices that I've had to make. You don't know that, how I've had to struggle with those things. I don't know how you've had to struggle with those things. Those choices are daily. Those choices are hourly sometimes. those choices are when you're at the end of your tether and you just think, just got to suck this up one more time, you know, and do it again. And those are where our choices come, and they're in our telling ourselves. And the great news is that as Christians or believers, as we will call ourselves for this sermon, because we're talking about belief, the emphasis is on choice. Jesus gave us a choice. And sometimes we think of the choice as in, you can believe this if you want, you don't have to, I'm not forcing it on you. But actually what we need to realise is, our choice is that we have an alternative. Jesus came and gave us an option that we didn't have before. And we forget that Jesus gave us another option. So when Jesus said he was the way, he wasn't saying, oh, you're also terrible if you don't walk the same way as me. He was saying, look at this other way. You could do it this way. You could try it this way. Here's another option. Here's another choice you can have apart from the one that you're already walking in. Come and see what the freedom is in this choice. Because Jesus promised us the truth. And the truth is genuine. The truth has integrity. The truth has the freedom. There's so much that the truth brings us. Think about when you find out something to be true, when you started to know about something and how much sense that made to you, how much you felt at peace when you found something out. Maybe it was an answer to a question that you didn't know. Maybe it was, did you get the yes from the bank manager on the loan? That's a truth we like to hear. Think about a truth that you found out. Doesn't need to be something that comes from education or that type of knowledge, but think about something that you found out to be true and how that felt in you, even if the truth wasn't massively pleasant. But when we find out the truth, there's a bit of a relief there. There's a bit of a, something's been unwrapped and unfolded. And so when Jesus has come into our lives and said, I can give you the truth, I can give you another option, it's like something has been unfolded that we didn't see before. And that's a gift that we can have in our daily lives, that we can bring the truth of what Jesus is saying into our day-to-day lives. So where is Jesus in the middle of all this? What is the truth that he's saying? If he is saying that he is the way and the truth and the life, then it means there must be something about how he lived. It must contain some direction, must contain some enlightenment for us to follow. And as I said, in John alone, in those chapters, there is tons of things that Jesus said. There are tons of, they're not even clues, they're just explicitly out there of what Jesus has revealed to us about the kingdom of heaven. And so if you're searching for freedom, if you're searching for peace, if you're searching for direction, go even and just start and read those chapters and see, what does Jesus say about this? He's maybe not going to specifically speak about family or people or sickness, but he's going to give you, there's plenty in there for you to be able to find that. They're not hidden clues. You know, they're very much in there for you to look at and see. Look for what Jesus said is the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said that God was going to bring his kingdom here. So what does God's kingdom contain that we need? You know, it's not just for there. It's for here and for now. He prayed that God's kingdom would come. And so that means that we have a way to bring that into our lives. And think about what you need from God's kingdom. Because if Jesus has said you could have that, and he didn't say, here's a really complicated way to get it, if he just says, follow me, then it seems to me that it must be us that makes us complicated. It must be us that has just maybe not fully dived into it. It must be something in us that said, that's not for me, I can't do that, I'm not good enough, I'm not the person who could. But Jesus has never said that about you. Jesus has never said that you're not good enough and you're not the person. Jesus has never said you need to tick all these boxes before you can. But Jesus says you're forgiven and you're loved and he died for you and you're accepted and his grace is there for you and his healing is there for you and his provision and his freedom. He just said, follow me. And that's all we need to do, is to just follow him. And so if we believe in him, then what we're saying is we believe in what he stands for. And so maybe it is that we're not standing for the things that Jesus stands for. You know, maybe we stand for greed instead of generosity. Maybe we stand for what we can get instead of what we can give. And that's a really, really simple thing. But in our culture in the West, we're very much about getting. We're about getting now quickly. And we'll pay for it next year. And if you've got a Very account, you don't have to pay for it for 3 months. You know, we're very much about what we can get now and how we can get it. And I know, like most of you in the room fairly well, I wouldn't say that anybody I know is greedy, but it's kind of just a little bit, and maybe it's in our generation, my generation, it's about like, well, there's easy ways to get stuff, and we don't as much think about how I can give. And I suppose what I love about our church, one of the things is the likes of the Baby Bank and the Carers Cafe and the Connect Friends over 60s, is we find ways to give. you know, and we give because, not because it makes us feel good, but it's part of who we are. It's part of who we are as a community of believers, is that we like to give because it's who Jesus was. And so part of us can't not give. You know, if one of us knew that someone else was struggling, we would automatically, what can I, you know, can I give you that? Can I get you that? How can I find that for you? Even like Michael's great for things. Yeah, when he knows you're looking for something, within about 5 minutes he'll send you the link to it on Gumtree, or he'll have talked to someone out of his mates who knows somebody who is selling the thing you're looking for. You know, we're really good at supporting each other that way. But that's just a small thing that I've picked, you know. But look at what Jesus stands for. Jesus stood for the poor. He stood for injustice. He stood, well, he stood against injustice, didn't stand for it. And so we need to look at, like, what do we need to stand for in our daily lives that Jesus stood for, that will release us into the peace and the freedom of the person or the place or the thing that we're struggling with? How would Jesus be in that? What would he say? What would he say to that person? What advice would he give one of his disciples who approached him about that, and then realize that you're one of his disciples that can approach him about that? You're exactly the same. And so maybe it's just about bringing Jesus' wisdom in and looking at a different belief, because the other beliefs often shut us down. They tell us that we're too tired. They tell us that sometimes they tell us that you've tried enough. Sometimes they tell us that this person is just nasty, or this thing is just not good, or I don't have the ability, or whatever it is. You know, you can think about that thing for yourself. But Jesus wouldn't say that. Sometimes Jesus will say, that thing needs to end now, it's time to walk away. And sometimes we're not very good at that choice. Sometimes we're not very good at changing and going a different direction, because that's a complicated thing to do. But he challenged Zacchaeus about that. He said to Zacchaeus, you need to leave your job and come and do something completely different. And there's an example of where, like, Zacchaeus was about greed, he was about getting, and his encounter with Jesus turned him to a person who became giving. He didn't just give back what he'd taken, he gave away a lot more. And so an encounter with Jesus has the ability to do that for us. The thing that we have built our lives on that is making us feel not really free, it's making us feel tied up and hopeless and anti-free, that thing is not where Jesus is. And we meet Jesus, he unlocks that in us. And he will give you a challenge maybe as well about how to walk that out. It might not be straightforward. It might be saying, yeah, I know that really bad things happened, but I don't need to keep feeling this way. Yes, I know that person was really horrible to you, but you could forgive them. I know this thing happened. You know, nobody's saying that thing doesn't exist, but there's a but there to say, but here's where you could go. Here's where you could follow Jesus in that. Here's the life you could speak into that situation. There's always something to bring of Jesus. And it might just be the voice in your own head and your own heart that enables you to do that for another day. Those tend to be the things that bring us the most down. And so I don't have a quick answer. I don't have an A plus B equals C, apart from there's Jesus. I don't think we need an A, B, and a C when we've got Jesus. But I don't. There's no little equations to do. There's no little smart ways of understanding it, because actually Jesus has just said, here I am, come follow me, I'm the truth. And so what I've said in a roundabout way is, if you're not feeling free, then look for the freedom, and the freedom comes from Jesus. So what truth? You know, that's the challenge for now, is what truth are you believing? If you're not feeling free, then what are you believing that's making you feel not free? And you need to figure out a way to replace that with something else. If you can't find life and hope in that truth, then is that a truth worth following? You've set your life up to follow along with this truth. If it's not working out, if it's not bringing you life, if it's not bringing you freedom, then that doesn't seem to me like a truth that you should be following. It doesn't seem to me that's where Jesus is. Jesus said his burden would be light. He didn't say life would be easy, but he said his burden would be light. And that means the thing that you carry around with you, the cost of being a disciple, is in the choices that you make, because there always will be a cost. And Jesus showed us how to pay the cost. You know, he died on the cross, but he was still free when he died. Like, that was a pretty awful circumstance. You know, most of us haven't had that circumstance. But Jesus was still free when he did that. He actually still had a choice there. You know, so our circumstances might feel heavy and hard and difficult at times. They might feel a bit sluggish at times, but we should still be able to find a sense of freedom. We shouldn't be bogged down in our heads, because there's a belief in there that has just muddled that up. And so have we chosen Jesus as the truth? And we're going to get ready to go back into worship. We're going to sing again to God. We're going to bring our lives before him. And there's a chance, you know, to look at these things again that Jesus said. you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you're not feeling free, then would you like to come for prayer this morning and find the truth that will set you free?